Good evening and welcome to our Wednesday night midweek online Bible study. I hope you've had a wonderful day. This evening we have a standalone lesson. Next week will be a combined service, and then the week after that we'll start a new series in our home friendship groups. But tonight's lesson is entitled Knowing God's Voice. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for this day that you have blessed us with. We thank you for this time that we can come to your word, Lord, and hear more about you, to know you better, God. And we just pray that as we open your word, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that our minds and our hearts would be open to what you would have to say to us, Lord. I just pray that you would be with us in your precious name. Amen. So knowing God's voice, this is so important because you can't have a relationship with God if you don't hear his voice, if you don't know his voice. If all you ever do is talk to God in prayer and you don't listen and hear from God, that's a one-way relationship, and I don't know if we can even call it a relationship. So how do we know God's voice? In all the noises and the voices around us, how do we know when God is speaking to us? How do I know where a thought or an idea or an impression came from? How do I know it didn't come from the devil or just my own thoughts? How do I know God's voice? It can be easy to become confused. Is this God speaking, or is it just something that I really want myself? It is extremely important to discern whether it is God speaking, because if you don't, it actually can be fatal for us. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." We need to know the difference between our own thoughts and God's voice speaking to us. The scripture we're reading this evening, where this lesson is coming from, is the book of John, chapter 10. And I'm going to read verse 1 to 5, and then I'll skip down to verse 27. So let's read John chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Down to verse 27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's a well-known scripture. And we know sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd. And if you have a little time, have a look on YouTube. I had a look myself at shepherds calling their sheep, and there were several videos that show the difference between a stranger going out and calling in a flock of sheep, and they didn't even look up in the videos, they just kept, you know, eating their grass, and then the shepherd would come and call them, and immediately their heads would pop up and they'd bleat and come running towards the shepherd. It was very, very sweet to watch. But we know shepherding in Jesus' day was a bit different to now. When Jesus spoke in the New Testament, he often used examples of things that the people of the time, they could understand and they knew. Shepherds, of course, pottery and pots, harvesting, sowing seed, all of those things. Jesus used examples of things that they knew. And of course, this scripture is talking about shepherds and ultimately the good shepherd. But shepherding in Jesus' day, very interesting. Say, there would be a shepherd obviously in charge of a flock of sheep, and sometimes there was multiple shepherds, and they would look after their group of sheep. They would tend to their own sheep's needs for the day, take them out to different pastures. And then in the evening time, all those shepherds that had their own individual flocks of sheep, they would come together and they would all take their sheep into the one sheepfold for the night. So say there were 10 different shepherds and each shepherd had 100 sheep that they were looking after. Those 10 shepherds would usher their sheep into the sheepfold. So the sheepfold was a large area of land, and there was a border of a rock fence all around it, a stone wall. And there was only one entrance to the sheepfold. There was no gate at that entrance. It was just an opening. So all, say, 10 shepherds with their 100 sheep would each take their sheep into this sheepfold for the night. And then 9 of those shepherds would then go back to the city, and they would stay in the city for the night. And the one shepherd would then stay at the sheepfold, and they would be called the porter of the sheepfold. And we read that in the scripture. This one shepherd would be the door of the sheepfold. He would literally lay his body across the entrance to the sheepfold, and he would be the protector of those 1,000 sheep for the night. He was the gate, the door. And then in the morning, those 9 shepherds who were off in the city, they would return to claim their sheep. When they would return, the porter that stayed behind them, they would recognise that the shepherds were coming to collect their flock. And when he recognised the shepherd coming, of course, he would move out of the way and let the shepherd into the sheepfold. And that shepherd would stand in the sheepfold and call his sheep. Out of the 1,000 sheep in that sheepfold, only 100 belonged to that particular shepherd. And he would call his sheep, and his sheep knew his voice. It didn't matter what kind of sheep it was. It didn't matter if it was an expensive sheep or a cheap sheep, if it was a tall sheep or short sheep or a green sheep. It didn't matter. The only thing that mattered was who they belonged to. That shepherd would stand there and call his sheep, and his sheep would come to him. Do you belong to the shepherd tonight? Do you hear his voice? There is only one way that we can belong to the shepherd, and that is through Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. By obeying God's plan for salvation as outlined in his word, there are so many people telling us that there are many ways to have a relationship with God, but we know there is only one way, and it is through Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Are you one of his sheep? Do you know, when I heard this about the sheepfold and the sheep, it was interesting to think that you could be a sheep in that sheepfold but not belong to the shepherd, not hear that particular shepherd's voice. We can be in the sheepfold and not be one of his. There were hundreds of sheep in that sheepfold, but only those belonging to the shepherd knew his voice. Only some had a relationship with the shepherd. This scripture tells us a few things. God is our shepherd. We are his sheep. We hear his voice. He knows us. And we follow when he calls. We are his sheep. We have a relationship with him. We can hear his voice. And hearing his voice is a result of the relationship that we have with him. He knows us. And as a response to all of that, we can follow him. If we look at that scripture, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Two of the original Greek words. Let's look at that for hear. The original Greek word for hear means to hear, to consider what is said, to understand, to perceive the sense of what is said, and to comprehend. The Greek word for know, it means a knowledge grounded on personal experience. And it was actually a Jewish idiom for an intimate relationship between a man and a woman. To know. My sheep hear my voice. We hear, we consider, we understand, we perceive what is said, we comprehend. And I know them. We have an intimate relationship with God. It's a beautiful verse. There are a maze of voices that we can listen to in this world. So many of them are not from God. We can hear people's opinions. We can hear voices from the media, from culture, from our own doubts and fears, different people's expectations. Our mind can be full of different voices. But God's word declares that his voice can still be recognized in the middle of chaos. We can still recognize God's voice. What an assurance that is. And I'm so grateful that God cares for us so much that he makes it able that we can hear his voice and recognize him. We just want to look at now six different principles concerning God's voice. The first one, the first principle about hearing God's voice is about living close to God. We've already kind of touched on this when we think about a relationship with God. Living close to God is essential to hearing and knowing his voice. Familiarity is integral to knowing someone's voice. Being so close to recognize the voice of God is the most important thing we can do. I think about a baby in a mother's womb as that baby grows and hears the mother's heartbeat and voice. That baby is hearing and recognizing the mother's voice. And when that baby's born, it can still recognize the mother's voice. How close are you to God? Do you spend time in his presence? Do you separate yourself from worldliness so as to draw close to God? We know being lukewarm, carnality, and worldliness all develop a distance between us and God until we just can't recognize him when he speaks. So living close to God is the first principle that we need to understand. The second one is conquering our own will. This is a principle of hearing God's voice. We know there is a human will and a divine will. And we need to conquer our will before we can be submissive to God's will. We know the song, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Saviour. I surrender all. When we are not afraid to give our all to Jesus, we can hear his voice and direction clearly. It's not mixed with our own desires and intentions. In the book of Romans chapter 7, we know Paul talks about, he says, there's a war in my flesh against the Spirit of God. He talks, he says, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. There's this war. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that sanctification process begins. We are starting to be set apart. God's Spirit will conform us into his will. When we are full of God's Spirit, we will want what God wants. We'll think the way God thinks. We will be transformed. The Holy Spirit will transform us and we can hear God's will for our lives. The third principle is that God does not need to speak to us directly concerning anything that is already written in his word. Although God's Spirit may occasionally remind or convict or call us to obedience in these areas, God isn't obligated to do so. His written word is the voice of God. He has given us the Bible. That's His word. He's given that to us to read and to understand and to hear what He wants to say to us. So if you want to hear God's voice, we need to read His word. The fourth principle is that one-time calls, one spoken word from God can impact an individual for a lifetime. When God speaks, it's a momentous occasion. Even one message can stay with us for a lifetime. When you hear specifically from God, you can hold on to that word for your whole life. You might receive confirmations and renewals and encouragement, but just knowing that God has spoken to you once should be enough to motivate you to carry out His commands and live according to what He has said. The fifth principle is that we are to try the spirits. Since a spirit of error and a spirit of truth exist at the same time in this world, we know that 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 6, it starts off with, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." Paul even said that there are many voices in this world. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 10, it says, "There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. We need to be careful what we're listening to. These voices can come from Satan, they can come from others, and they can just come from our own mind. We need to test if something is of God. We need to seek godly wisdom and advice. And the last principle about the voice of God is that God leaves many things to just our common sense. He gave us a brain to think with. Minor and insignificant decisions are best left to our God-given, built-in conscience and judgment. We don't need to seek the voice of God for every single trivial matter in our lives. Of course, we always leave room for God to intervene, even in the daily matters that we have. So how does God speak to us? Obviously, God speaks to us through His word, the Bible. The Bible is the final authority on any matter that it addresses. Never accept anything as being from God if it even slightly contradicts what the Bible is saying. The Bible is truth. It instructs us, it convicts us, it inspires us. Man's wisdom is no comparison to the Word of God. Be careful never to be swayed by anything other than the Word of God. It's our daily bread. The second way God speaks to us is through men of God. Men and women of God that you have confidence in because of their godly lives can help you know God's voice. God may also use them to speak directly to you. And I know many times I've been encouraged by godly men and women who have spoken a very timely word into my life, a word that I have known without a doubt that has been from God. And I've shared this before. There was many years ago when we were trying to have a baby and weren't able to for a very long time and experienced many sad times, but there was one service I was in church and it was during the worship service, and a lady came up to me and I didn't know her very well. I knew she was a woman of prayer, and she just tapped me on the shoulder and she said, "Melanie, I just want you to know that God has told me to tell you that this is the time." And it was that week that we found out that we were expecting our first baby, and that was just such an encouragement that the God who made this universe saw me and used a woman of God to come and speak to my life, to encourage me and to share His goodness with me. So God can speak to us through other men and women of God. God can speak directly to us, of course. God uses this method to call people into his service or to give them specific direction. We should be careful not to rush into anything in this instance. Remember, a call from God will not die, but zeal will fade over time. Godly zeal, you know, we get excited and we might think that God has told us to do something. Zeal will fade, but a call from God will not fade. We have to be grounded in truth before attempting to receive any direct orders from God. Often, you know, people can say, God told me to do this, and maybe it's not from God. We need to be careful. If you think God has told you to do something specific, wait on him to confirm his word to you. And again, seek godly counsel. God can speak to us through the gifts of his Spirit. Prophecy or tongues and interpretation are gifts given to the church, and God will use the gifts of the Spirit to speak to you. You might hear in a church service, you might hear someone give a tongue, speak out loud in tongues. Maybe there's a quietness in the service, and then someone else will give an interpretation to that. That is God speaking to his church. And of course, this is also judged by the hearers. We judge everything according to the word of God. This doesn't mean we criticize or ignore, but rather we line it up with what the word of God says. Remember, that is our ultimate authority. God can speak to us in dreams and visions. Both of these occur in our lives. And many times, often, they don't have any spiritual meaning. We all have dreams and we all have visions or ideas for our future. But God can speak to us in dreams and in visions. So when relying on a dream as being a directive from God, it's essential for you to be absolutely sure that God is speaking. Again, check it out with the leadership that God has placed over you. Seek godly counsel. It would be good to go to your pastor to share what you feel God has spoken to you in a dream or a vision. And your pastor will either confirm God's word or perhaps encourage you to wait or encourage you in a different direction if he feels it's not from God. God can speak to us through angels. We know angels are God's ministering spirits. God can send angels, but beware, so can the devil. It is important, again, to be absolutely sure. If you have a deep desire to see an angel, but no corresponding deep desire to obey just God's commands from his word, you're in trouble. Don't seek angels. Seek God. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So while God can use this means, we have to be very cautious. And the last way that we'll talk about tonight that God speaks is by an inner impression. Certainly not all of our impressions are from God. Most are from external things or even just our own mind. So we have to become sensitive to God in order to distinguish God's prompting. Trial and error will certainly, it comes to play here, and that's why experience and consistency are so very important. Compare your impressions. If you just get like a feeling that God is urging you to do something, say something, compare it to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God to find assurance of what you're feeling. Watch spiritual leadership and go to them to seek guidance once again. But God's urging, that's very often how we hear God speak, a feeling to go to someone to do something. And don't be shy or backward in stepping out, because I know in my own life, and this is where experience comes in, there's been times when I have felt God, tell me to do something, but I've questioned it in my mind. I think, is that you, God? I don't know. I don't know. So I haven't. And I've regretted not, because I've seen how that has been later on the perfect opportunity for God to move in a situation. And I've learned just through experience of feeling God's presence, feeling His, or hearing His word. It's only through experience that we can understand the difference between our own thoughts and God urging us to do something. If we go back to John chapter 10, verse 5, it says, and a stranger, this is talking about the sheep again, in the sheepfold, it says, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Remember I mentioned the YouTube videos that I watched about the shepherds calling the sheep. In those videos, the sheep I mentioned didn't know the voice of the stranger. They didn't even look up. They didn't notice it. They didn't hear it. And indeed, in some of the videos, the sheep actually ran away from those strangers, the people who they didn't recognize. If a voice is different to the one that you're accustomed to listening or following, flee from it, as the Word of God says, run from it. Sound scriptural principles, deep spiritual perception and great caution have to be exercised in what we listen to and what we allow. We need to stay close to the shepherd. Many people have become deceived by other voices they think are God's voice. Of course, we know Satan is the father of all lies, and he will do his best to deceive us. If a voice comes to you and it is not from God, do not entertain it. Stay close to Jesus, stay in his word, and stay in godly leadership. When you're not sure if a voice is from God, we can compare it with four different things. We can compare what you're hearing with what you've been taught. We can compare what you've heard with your past experiences. We can compare what you're hearing to someone else's experiences as well. And of course, we can compare what you're hearing with God's word. We can compare with four things. Let's very briefly look at a few scriptures for those things. The first one, compare what you're hearing with what you have been taught. Never abandon the principles instilled in you. We know contemporaries in every generation pressure God's people to forsake biblical guidelines. It happened in the Word of God in the Old Testament. It happens now. Things are turned into just foolishness and maybe out of date or out of fashion. We have to turn a deaf ear to that and hold on to the truths that we have been taught. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learnt and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. There's such assurance in that scripture. Continue in the things that we know that are right, that we have been taught. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 to 3 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that hear him? We cannot neglect those truths that we have heard and we've been taught. We need to hold on to them. The second one I mentioned, compare what you are hearing with your past experiences. Recall from the past what was of God and what was of flesh. Then act accordingly. Remember, time and experience are great teachers. We need to stop making the same mistakes over and over, and we have to become wise to what the devil is using against us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We need to know what he's using to take us away. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Let's learn from what the experiences that we've had in our past. We need to compare what we're hearing maybe with someone else's experience. Use godly, proven men and women in your life as sounding boards to determine if you are on course or not. Independence, self-centeredness are sure routes to follow the wrong voice. We need to reach out. We are a body. God has put people over us to go to for godly advice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 12 to 13 says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace amongst yourselves. And the last one, compare what you're hearing to God's word. Any direction from God, anytime God speaks, it will harmonize with the Bible and the spirit of the Bible. If there is anything that is against the word of God, we need to reject it immediately. We know 1 Timothy 3:16 to 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God is our number one thing, to hear God's voice. I have taught Sunday school for many, many years, and throughout that time of working with children and praying with children and teaching children, it always is such a joy to see how open children are to hearing the voice of God and knowing when God is speaking to them. They're very open to knowing that God speaks to their hearts. Why is it so easy for children? And why is it so hard sometimes for us as adults? Why can we just make it so complicated? We have doubts. We have fear. We have skepticism. And this is why Jesus told us that if we really want to understand the kingdom of God, that we are to become as little children. Because a child is open. Whatever you want to say to me, Jesus, I'll hear it. I'll hear it. I'll listen. Children don't have a problem with hearing God. What is a problem for us? Why do we have trouble hearing God's voice? Why have those lines sometimes become so blurry for us? The message is muted. It's not getting through to us. What is the problem? Sometimes, and a lot of the time, it's because we've allowed sin to become between us and God. There's become a blockage, and we need to get rid of that sin so that that message can flow easily once again. Maybe it's a habit we need to stop. Maybe it's a relationship we need to leave, or maybe a hurt that we've held on to for too long. It's created a barrier between you and God. We need to confess that area or that blockage. What if you've never heard God speak to you? Then you need to get to know Jesus. And that's the most beautiful thing about this scripture in John. Remember, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. There's such intimacy in that. We need a relationship with Jesus. We can't have just a religion without a relationship. You can know all about God without actually knowing him. And that's a scary thought. John 8 verse 47 says, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." If you don't hear God's voice, get to know Jesus. Spend time with him. If you've never been saved, born again, if you've never put your total life into God's hands, you've never begun that relationship, you can do it this evening in your homes. You can ask God for forgiveness. You can ask him to fill you with his spirit. When you are in that sheepfold, when you know the shepherd and you know his voice, you live in security. You live in blessing and you live in victory and you live in a beautiful relationship with Jesus. "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, God, I am so grateful, God, for all that you are. Lord, that you call me your own, Jesus. I'm so grateful that we can be part of a family, God. Lord, that we can hear your voice, that we can truly know the God who created this universe. We can know you in such an intimate way. And Lord, I pray for all of us, God, that has heard this lesson tonight. Lord, help us to be reflective, to look in our lives, to find anything that may block us from hearing your voice. Lord, help us to be close to you. Help us to live a life sanctified and set apart to you, Lord God, that we would walk away from sin, walk away from the voices that try to pull us away from you, God. Lord, that we would live a life pleasing to you. Lord, we thank you, God, and I just pray that you would be with us all this evening and throughout the next few days until we meet again on Sunday. We thank you, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.